It's Thursday, the day we read from our listener letters. A story on Monday examined the consequences of a new Florida law requiring drivers over the age of 80 to take a vision test to renew their driver's license. And after listening to our report, Sundar Srinivasan of New York City thought that he might need his hearing tested. He says the report's focus, the high level of inconvenience for failed octogenarians, seemed myopic, to say the least. Half-blind drivers of any age give a new and perverse meaning to unsafe at any speed.
Wade Goodwin's report on tick riders, those cowboys who monitor on horseback 1,000 miles of the Rio Grande, left Deborah Farrell Burke of Lenox, Massachusetts, feeling she was there on the range. I could see them, hear them, fortunately not smell them. Good to know that some people are doing an important physical job, like the job, do it well, and are respected for it.
Cited as another example of powerful radio was David Isay's piece on the clemency hearing for murderer Robert Wesley Knighton. He was executed Tuesday night. The daughter of one of his victims had spoken on Knighton's behalf at the hearing, while her sister testified against clemency.
Tears were flowing down my cheeks, and there was a lump in my throat that almost kept me from swallowing while driving home from work, wrote Alan Willis of Portland, Oregon. He adds, the truly humble and total forgiveness of the daughter who sought clemency and the anguish of her sister, who could not extend her own forgiveness that far, were so fully and honestly conveyed in the story, a powerful example of the best in radio reporting.
Our feature yesterday on the wet weather along the East Coast drew perhaps more mail than any other story this week, and reaction depended, not surprisingly, on where listeners live. From Katie Garrity in soggy Somerville, Massachusetts, this: I was quite pleased to hear your segment on our endless wet weather. Nothing makes me happier than to hear that I'm not alone in my misery. Thanks, and stay dry.
John Dax in East Chatham, New York, looked on the bright side. We have enjoyed the greatest profusion of apple blossoms and lilacs that I can recall in the 25 years I've lived here. The overwhelming white of the apple trees in bloom and the sweet fragrance of the lilacs in the damp spring air remind us that nature, even when at the edge of what we think is normal, has its rewards.
But in Texas, where David Hollis lives, it has been a dry May, and he writes, we pray for rain daily and watch the skies hopefully, anticipating even a dark cloud, but nothing comes. So enjoy your moisture and don't make us so green with envy by complaining about it on the radio.
And we were deluged with mail from the state of Washington. Oh, give me a break, writes Jenny Lacher of Seattle. You East Coasters are big babies. Here in Seattle, we can go for months without seeing the sun. My advice to the depressed Easterners is drink some coffee and get over it.
Linda Hall, also a denizen of Seattle, writes, let me give you a couple of tips from the land of clouds. One, a month is nothing. Two, nobody here stays indoors just because of a little liquid sunshine. And three, you'll look back fondly on this time when it gets hot and muggy there in August.
In the meantime, Hall says, I think I know where your spring went. This week we are having mostly sunny skies and temperatures in the mid-70s, uncharacteristic for Seattle in May.